Amen. Well, good morning to you. You guys ready to have fun this morning? No? Did you come to church to have fun? I hope so. So we come to the Lord to worship God, right? And hopefully build relationships with each other, study God's Word, and yeah. But, you know, sometimes we want to have fun. So we're going to have fun today. Anybody play baseball? Little League? High school? Amen. So we're going to talk about baseball, and we're going to talk about batting. You ever had a preacher bring a bat to the pulpit? I don't know, right? Definitely feels good. It's a little small, though. So we're going to talk about baseball a little bit. We're talking about being a kid, having childlike faith. But let's pray before we get going and ask God to help me through this one. In Jesus' name. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything that's been going on here for the past week. We thank you for our church family. Thank you for the ones that are here and the ones that are not here, Lord, and the ones that are traveling and going to visit family and so forth and resting. And Lord, we just pray for them and ask you to help them and whatever needs that they have in their life. We pray for the folks that are sick, folks that are on the back of our bulletin. And Lord, we just lift them up in Jesus' name. You know what they need. And ask for healing. We ask for direction, guidance, counsel. You know what each person needs. Father, we lift up our military and our missionaries around the country. We love you. We thank you. And help me with this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we've been studying the book of Matthew. But I'm going to take a little break today because Vacation Bible School. So, the Lord's put on my heart a little Vacation Bible School message that I feel like He wants us to hear. And then next week's Father's Day, so we'll focus on Father's Day, and then after that we'll pick back up in Matthew. But this morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. I couldn't get away from Matthew, sorry, but it's verse 18, so you might hear this again later. But Matthew verse 18, if you have your Bibles, verse 1 through 3. Matthew 18, 1 through 3. All right, so let's read. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Everybody said amen? All right. There's basically three ingredients of being childlike. And we're not talking about being immature or silly. Sometimes I get a little silly, I know, but that's just me. But what we're talking about here are the ingredients of being childlike. Because Jesus just told us that if we don't change and become childlike, right, become like little children, that we're not going to enter heaven. Okay, so three ingredients of being childlike are faith, hope, and love. And I know we've heard this before. And the greatest of them is what? Love. So faith, hope, and love. You see, a child, and we're talking about a baby, or we're really not talking about teenagers either. No offense to teenagers, but we're talking about a child, childlike, okay? Little children have the faith of a mustard seed. They have faith. They have trust, don't they? Little children. I love my little grandchildren now because they're like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They believe everything Grandpa says. And even my boys say, hey, look, you know, before you believe everything that Grandpa says, come and check with me. You know, because I love messing with them and telling them some crazy something, you know, and I have to clean up the mess later, but it's all fun. And they love it too. They remember all the crazy little stories. Even my boys, you know, they'll tell stories about what I told them when they were 5, 6, 7, 8. They just trust. They're so precious, right? And they have this faith, man, that just, you know, daddy's going to take care of them. You know, mama's going to be there. They have this faith, you know. The next one is hope. You know, children have hope. They have hope for the future. They have hope that, you know, things are going to work out okay. It's going to be all right. You know, I've counseled so many families and, you know, things like that where, you know, it just looks really bad. And then the little children, you know, the little children say, Daddy, it's going to be all right. You know, it's going to be okay, Mom. You know? So they have hope. They understand the deeper meaning of hope. Love. Wow. Little children have so much unconditional love and forgiveness, don't they? It's okay. It's all right. And they just love. You know, they have so much love and so much ability to forgive. Would y'all agree? Yeah. All right. So, can I tell you a story? May I tell you a story for you English teachers? Here it is. Say amen if I can tell you a story. All right, here we go. A little boy went out to the ball field by himself, wearing his baseball cap and carrying a bat and a ball. In his eye was the look of steely determination. He was so full of confidence that he put his bat on his shoulder and tossed the ball into the air and said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. But he swung and he missed. Strike one, he said. He picked up the ball again, looked it over, and then threw it in the air again. And as he watched the ball descend, he repeated, I am the greatest batter in the world. But once more, he missed. Strike two, he said with a puzzled look on his face. And he stopped to examine his bat to make sure there wasn't a hole in it. A third time, he picked up the ball, adjusted his cap, and tossed the ball into the air. As the ball went up a third time, he repeated, I am the greatest batter in the world. He swung with all his might, but he missed for the third time. Strike three, you're out, he said with the confidence of an umpire. But instead of being discouraged, the boy thought, and then he began to jump and shout all over the ball field. Wow! What a pitcher! I'm the greatest pitcher in the world! Oh, I love that story, man. So this morning, what are we going to talk about? Look at Frankie. Sometimes that we need a childlike attitude adjustment. How many would raise your hands on that one? I don't care how old you are now. Sometimes we need a childlike attitude adjustment. See, this past year may have gone very well for some of you. Some of you may have felt like you struck out. Maybe you did. You know, we all strike out once in a while, don't we? If you feel like sometime in your life you've struck out a couple times, raise your hand. Yeah, right? But the good news is this. The good news is you don't have to justify it somehow or call failure another name as we try to do once in a while. Because even though you may have messed up, if you're still breathing, if you're still above that 6 feet, right, you'll always have another chance to make it anew, especially with God. Amen. Especially with God. Anybody here need another chance? A new beginning? Maybe you need a clean slate. I don't know. You see, guys, I'm here to remind you this morning that we still serve a God of second chances. And I am one that is very grateful for that. You see, our sins can never be greater than God's grace. Our failure can never be greater than the love of God. Our failure in the past does not determine what we will become in the future. Please remember this. Your past does not equal your future. Now, this morning, I want to point out three attitude adjustments that most of us need to take. You guys ready? I don't have it in the bulletin this morning because we'll pick back up Matthew. We'll have the sermon notes. Bless you. I dreamed one time that I died and went to heaven, and God sneezed, and I didn't know what to say to him. Dang, you're a tough crowd this morning. Help me, Lord. All right. The first attitude adjustment is this one. Failure is not final. Failure is not final. If failure was final, none of us would be here. Amen? None of us would make it. None of the people in the Bible would make it if failure was final. In fact, the Bible is one story after another of people who messed up repeatedly. And it's also about how God coached them to somehow about get it right, you know? Names like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jonah, David, Paul, Peter. We go on and on of the names of people who messed up. I mean, look at David. It's a perfect example, right? He really messed up. I mean, you know, we're going on about his story. But God called him the apple of his eye. If failures were not included in the Bible, there would be no one there. If failures were not included in this church, there will be no one here. You see, but the Bible also shows us that failure is not final. I mean, look what Jeremiah said in 31:34. The Lord says, everybody say that with me, the Lord says, one more time, the Lord says, it's not Dallas I'm trying to preach a motivational speech or whatever. This is what God said. He says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Guys, think about that. God is saying He will forgive our wickedness and He will remember our sins no more. This is the Bible. God, really let that sink down in your soul. It makes me so happy. It makes me kind of childlike, giddish, happy. Because He's not going to remember my sins. He said He would cast my sins, your sins, as far as the east is the west, into the sea of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. East and west. How far does the east and west go? Forever. Some of you know what that means. Forever. It's eternal. It goes forever and ever and ever and ever. Into the sea of forgetfulness. See, we don't have the ability to forget things. You know, it's life. But God has the ability to forget. See, He doesn't remember the things you did that you repented of, you asked for forgiveness, right? He doesn't remember those things. Sometimes we're the only ones that remember them. We bring them up in our crazy little minds and we condemn ourselves and shame ourselves and put ourselves down. God's like, I why should you stop bringing that up? I don't remember that. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful to me. Hebrews 4:16. Amy and I were talking about this week. Hebrews 4:16, it says, that's why the Bible says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. I'm excited that we can go to God and we can talk to Him and hang out with Him and fellowship with Him and not have to worry about all the crazy stuff that we did. I always got an issue, don't I? I'm excited about that. All right, so the second attitude adjustment, right, is that God wants us to adopt in our life is bad results can be redeemed. I am redeemed. Big Daddy Weave, write the song. I remember that first song, first came out. My clients, you know, working on a drug treatment program, my clients was like, can we listen to this guy named Big Daddy Weave? I was like, no. I don't listen to that rap music. That's, you know, I got all caught up in judging the guy based on his name, right? Oh, come on, it's good. It's Christian. I can't be. Just listen to it. I'm like, all right. I listened to it. I cried. I was like, I'm sorry, guys. Please forgive me. Because it's a great song, man. But, you know, I got old man disease. I kind of like, you know. Bad choices lead to bad consequences. You know, little kid touches the hot whatever. Not stove, but, you know, the hot pot. Maybe that's the way God created this thing to work. Ouch, that's hot. Guess what? I need to, what? Not touch that again. Because the consequences are going to be pain. Well, if you got a lot of defiance and rebellion and disobedience and that kind of thing, you know, you have a tendency to go, well, it can't be that hot today. Maybe I can just touch it a little bit. You know, you come up with these crazy little rationalized, justified sort of kind of stuff, and especially if you got all that rebellion, defiance, crazy stuff coming up on you. Sometimes I'll tell my family of my clients, you know, if you, you know, you got to be careful enabling them. So I'm going to tell you real quick, okay? You've probably heard this before. Be careful enabling your rebellious children or grandchildren. I've had family that will literally love them to death. Be very careful of that, you know? Sometimes they'll tell family of their son that keeps drinking and drugging, say, look, you need to give them a gift. You need to give them the gift of consequences. Amen? So if that's for somebody, okay, maybe. Amen. Many of us are living with the results of a wrong decision. Now, it is true that God forgives our past sins and that He heals the wounds with which sin has injured us. Okay? However, there are scars that remain even from a healed wound. It could be a physical scar. It could be an emotional scar. But even scars can serve a purpose. Amen. They remind us of what happens when we rebel against God and try to go our own way. They also serve to help us relate to other people who may have wounds. I have three wounds. I have three scars. I have one on my head. I have 13 stitches for being rebellious. I have one scar that runs down my thigh. Reminds me not to be rebellious. And I have a scar on my hand right here that every time I see it, I remember that I don't need to be rebellious. Amen? And I have a couple of emotional scars that reminds me that I need to forgive, right? And I don't need to repeat those patterns in my life. We have scars. We can be redeemed. You believe that? God uses everything in our lives even our failures. Peter was the most confident of Jesus' disciples. Man, he was confident, right? Y'all know Peter. He really believed that if everyone fell away from Jesus, he was going to be right there, boy. He's going to be right there. Nah, I got your back, Jesus. But when it came down to it, the rubber meet the road, Peter was the one that betrayed Jesus in his most difficult hour. And I'm sure that caused a lot of hurt, even in Jesus. I think it hurt and shamed Peter to the depths of his soul. I believe it bothered Peter so much that he had rejected Jesus, especially at this time of need. Here's a cool story about redemption. Even though Peter denied Jesus three times, one day on a beach, Jesus gave Peter an opportunity to make it right. Wow, what a beautiful story. Jesus gave him three times to affirm his love for him after he had denied Christ three times. Jesus gave Peter a chance to redeem himself. It's a beautiful story. I encourage you to go read it. He took his denial and his rejections and turned it into a proclamation of love. And he wants to do the same for you today, if you have that need. John Orberg wrote a book, and this is what he said. Let me read it to you. Redeeming is God's specialty. He is the finder of directionally challenged sheep, the searcher of missing coins, the embracer of foolish prodigal children. His favorite department is lost and found. If there is one way that human beings consistently underestimate God's love, it is in His loving and longing to forgive us. God loves you. The third point in all of this is the future is open. You have no idea the plans that God has for you. We can't even imagine, the Bible says, what God has planned for each one of you in the future. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Failure does not mean that you are finished. He's not throwing you away. God can not only forgive your sin, but He can also redeem what you may have done. If you truly repent, if we truly repent of our sins, you are not doomed to repeat your mistakes. I truly believe that. Your future is not dictated by your past. Revelations. Everybody here? In the book of Revelations, chapter 21:5, tells us something new awaits you. It is a future designed by God. Jesus said it this way. This is what Jesus said. He says, I am making everything new. And He really is. Don't get caught into thinking like how everything's going to be is how it's going right now. Don't get caught in that trap. Philippians 3:12-14. Most of you know this verse, but I'm going to read it to you. The Apostle Paul knew how to face the future. For he said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, But one thing for sure, forgetting what lies behind and pressing on to what is ahead. Pressing on toward the goal and the prize of Christ Jesus. What is the prize? I believe it's heaven, relationship with God. What is the goal? I believe the goal is love. Is love. The love like an innocent child. That unconditional love, willing to forgive. Jesus said, we just read it, Jesus said, unless you change, unless you change and become like little children. You see, true change, I believe, comes when you and me decide to love God with all our heart and love others as we love ourselves. Love ourselves? Do you love yourself? For me, my experience is the only way that I can really love myself is to love God. To love Him as I love God, I build my relationship with Him, then I begin to feel a little bit better about myself, and I'm able to help others and love others. Because if you don't love yourself, you won't be able to love others. And you probably have a difficult time receiving love from God, or a difficult time believing that God loves you. I've had people say, well, I just don't believe that God loves me. Stop it. Stop it. Well, I don't feel like God loves me. Stop it. Stop. If you're thinking like that this morning, like, well, God doesn't love me, stop. Just stop. Just repent. Stop. Because really what it is, now can I shoot straight with you? It's just disrespecting the cross. It's selfishness. God doesn't love me. Stop. He does love you. The Word of God said He loves you. Don't disrespect what He did on the cross. I know you don't mean to. You're not thinking like that when you say that. But stop it. God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His only Son to die on the cross, to take our place, to pay the price for our sins, to be raised from the dead, so that we can have a relationship with Him and spend eternity playing in His sandbox. Oh, don't let me offend you. Don't let me offend you by that word sandbox. Don't be the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the fancy religious folks that can't handle the truth. Everybody with me? Now, the word sandbox is not in the Bible. I know that. I put this in here for a point to shake you, to get you to understanding about the childlike. Right? So we can childlike. Come to God like children. See, I personally don't believe that we're going to stand around in heaven before the throne of God and worship all day long. Forever and ever and ever. God created angels that could do that. If He wanted that, He could have just created a bunch of robotic beings to do that for 1,000 years and 1,000,000 years. Don't stone me, because I do know that when I get to heaven, I'm going to not really know what to say. I'm going to fall before my face with Almighty God. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to cry. I'm going to be grateful and thankful. I'm going to be on my knees. I'm going to be down on my belly. Because here's God Almighty, the creator of everything. Yes, I'm going to worship Him for, I don't know how long. We don't really know how long. Everybody feel me? Really? But I believe that one day Jesus is going to say, "Hey, Dallas, Dallas, hey, come here, follow me. I'm gonna show you something." Now this is me going into my childlike thoughts and behavior that here's my Abba Father. Abba Father. It's my Papa. It's my Daddy. It's my Heavenly Father. We're going to talk about it a little bit next week about that. But Jesus goes, "Hey, come." That's great. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Jesus is going to say, "Hey, come here. Let me show you something. I want to show you something." And I believe He's going to show me things and talk with me. We've got eternity to spend with Him. Technically, we're going to be on this earth for about 1,000 years, and then, you know, heaven's going to come down, hover over the earth. You know, it's going to be interesting. We've got 1,000 years. We're going to hang out. Jesus is going to, you know, build His kingdom on. But I got a couple of things I don't want to share with you. Glenn's like, "I'm going to hit him with that bat if he goes there." But here's the childlike stuff that I think about. You think about dreams and things you'd like to do on earth. Man, I think about things I'm going to do in eternity. And I know for you guys who are, you know, I know we're going to worship the Lord and it's going to be precious and holy and all that kind of thing. But here's 7 things. And I'm going to ask you to do this too, so just hang with me. See, one day, me and Jesus are going to hang out. Okay? And I want to ride on the back of a great white shark through the ocean. You know, we're going to have heavenly bodies. I'm going to be able to go down to the very depths of the ocean, man. Always at the bottom. I don't have to worry about breathing, man. I got a heavenly body. I'm like a Superman, you know. Maybe. I'm going to see all the creatures under the water that we've never seen, man. I'm just going to explore that, kind of like Aquaman, you know. Just all the way down, man. I'm going to ride on that great white shark like a rodeo cowboy riding a... But he's going to do what I want him to do. He's going to be friendly. The Bible says that. Not about the shark, but about animals being friendly. 2, I want to fish in Alaska with a grizzly bear. Man, this, I'm serious about this now, you know. I think we're lucky, we got to find another pastor. This is little Dallas coming out. Is that okay? That's what Jesus told us, you know. I want to be there with a grizzly bear and hug him. He's my buddy. We're high-fiving. And he's like, "Come on down here." I don't know if you'll be able to talk or not, but maybe so. And we're going to go down here to the stream. And he's going to show me how to get some salmon. And we're going to fish, man. That's going to be awesome. I want to be able to fly over these mountains that I don't really get to see. You know, we might not get to see the Swiss Alps or, you know, whatever mountains around the world. We might not get to see them during this little short time we're going to be on earth. But boy, when I get my spiritual body, I'm going to fly. And I'm going to fly over, me and Lynn, I'm going to fly over those mountains, man, and land and look and investigate and check it all out. It's going to be great. 4, I'm going to float down the Amazon in a small boat pulled by a team of piranhas. Hey, it's my dream list, right? I've never been to the Amazon. I probably will never go. I'm too chicken. But during that time, well, we're going to explore. I mean, you're going to have 1,000 years. What are you going to do? So I'm going to explore all down the Amazon, man. It's going to be awesome. And all the animals and everything's still going to be there. That's what the Bible says, right? 5. I really think Jesus is going to show me different planets. He's, "Hey, boom, we're going to be on Mars, Pluto, Jupiter, some crazy planets." No, I'm not Mormon now, so don't go there. I think that I'm going to be able to explore different planets, man. It's just going to be awesome. This is my dream list. 6, I'm going to be able to picnic with Jesus, or picnic with my family and friends in specific places around the earth that you normally don't get a chance to go to. You just, you know. Hey. And 7. It's the last one. It's actually my most favorite. All kidding aside, I really believe this is going to happen. I just believe it. It may or may not, but it makes me feel joy. It makes me feel childlike. It makes me feel, you know, this is cool. Here's number 7. And I believe I'm going to sit by a beautiful river somewhere on earth. A beautiful river fishing with Jesus as he tells me about all things. Whatever. Maybe he'll tell me about the beginning of time. Maybe he'll tell me about all things. We're just going to sit there and fish. He's going to talk to me. Because Jesus is my friend. He's my Lord and Savior. He's the King of Kings, right? He's the creator of everything. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. 3 ingredients: faith, hope, and love. Faith is the one where if you are in the sound of my voice and you do not place your faith in Jesus Christ, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and become a child of God. A child of God. Be born again into the family of God. If you do not do that, you will not go to heaven. That's what the Bible says. Amen? And that hope, the childlike faith, hope, and when you do that, you'll have the hope of eternal life. So let's have a great vacation Bible school. Amen? Let's teach the little children about God's love. And let's have some fun. So here's your assignment. Don't let your pride get in the way. Amen? Next week's Father's Day. And next week, we're going to show a video of the week of vacation Bible school. So that's, you know, that's going to take 10 minutes maybe or so. And then I'm going to have a short message about Abba Father, Papa, our Heavenly Daddy, our Heavenly Father. And what I would like to have is at least a half a dozen, maybe 10 folks that will come up here with your list, like I wrote my list down, with your list of some childlike dreams that you would like to see in your heavenly future. And I understand you're going to, oh, I just want to be with Jesus. Okay, I understand that. But come on. As long as I get in heaven and I can just mow the grass, I'll be all right. I understand that. I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to be humble and, you know, grateful. I understand that. But be a child. You old folks, be a child. Really allow yourself to just open up and let little Frankie come out. Let little Jesse come out. Right? Amen? Let little Peter come out. Just little Mary. Just let little Mary come out. Little Angela. Right? Oh, I feel like, yeah. Melissa's like, don't call on me. Let little Melissa come out. Right? Be childlike. Charlotte, Tammy, I mean, y'all, come on. Let's make a little list. Maybe 1 or 2 things, 3 things. And we'll make a line. You guys, after I do my message about Abba Father, because I don't want to give that away yet, Abba Father, I'd like you to come up, use the microphone, and just share your list, man. It may be precious. Oh, I know little Gary's in there. It may be precious. We may laugh, but don't worry about it, right? Don't worry about it. So I asked that. So when we come to that time, I don't want to stand up here and nobody comes up. Now, that'd be odd. Can we do that? It's unusual, I know, but you know, you got me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the Vacation Bible School. Thank you for the workers. Lord, we thank you for the children that's going to be there. Lord, we thank you for the visiting children that may hear the gospel for the first time in their life. Lord, that may go back home and share the gospel with their parents or grandparents. We just ask you to place a special anointing on Emily and Heath and all the workers, from the teachers to the crafts, activities, leaders, every person in the Vacation Bible School. Father, you give them patience, love, kindness. Just allow the fruits of the Holy Spirit to move through them to be able to help these children. We'll pray for our special little speakers that's coming on Thursday night. Father, we pray that you will minister to them. Minister to those folks coming from the arts and crafts store. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that's never accepted Christ, never been born again to the family of God, Father, as we sing this song of invitation, I just pray that they'll come down and I'll be glad to pray with them. We can settle that. They can become born again. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.